Welcome to the Guts Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thanks so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word from my dad, Pastor Bill Shear. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Hey, I'll tell you, it's just amazing the people that God puts in your life. Not people that you necessarily pick, but just people that it's just divine appointments and divine connections. And there's some people in here today that are like that. I know a little growth, but I know that's not your name, but in my heart, you're still like 15. And but served in our kids department here. We actually was director. Do you mind standing, Miss King? The Growthy King, whatever. You guys I'm telling you, just, I still like now lament in my heart a little bit that we let her go. Yeah, sometimes you have to release people. Sometimes you have to, but I'm so proud of you. Such a wonderful family. And I'll tell you, there's just people that God brings in your life. And there's people like that here. The Swans are here today. You guys mind standing? And I went to Bible school with David and Roxanne Swan. They pastor an incredible church in Clovis, New Mexico. And what's interesting is how they navigate change in ministry and change in church. There's a military base, and it's a primary reason that people are in that area. And their church navigates that so well. People coming in and going out and being enriched and touching lives, and it's thousands of people. But I might have met David. I might have been a Christian for like 6 weeks or 2 months. I didn't know anything about the word. And he's one of the people that stuck out to me just because there was no judgment. Most of the people at Bible school that I met early on, they were wondering why I was there. Okay. As I was as well. And, but Dave and Roxanne never were. And as rough around the edges, see, I'm silky smooth right now. As a matter of fact, that's my nickname at home. Silky smooth. I was really rough around the edges. I know it's hard for you guys to understand how rough around the edges I was, but they were just always an encouragement. And really, they probably played a massive role in just me continuing in my life to serve God. And I just appreciate them. And I know their baby graduated as well. And she's got a boy now that's like following her around. And they seem to like him, so I guess I will too. But we have people like that. You got people in your life all the time that are just like that, okay? I want to get into the second part of this message from last week. If you weren't here last week, I'm sure you could figure out a way to listen to this if you can. I encourage you to do that. Maybe even listen last week and then listen this week back to back as you're studying the Word this week. You know, it's important for us to be pursuing God. Write that down. It's important to pursue God. It's important because everything else, God's not going to be your distraction. God's not going to distract you, okay? The enemy's going to distract you from serving God. God's just going to patiently wait. You know, the interesting thing about God is he's long-suffering because we're distractible. And we have to understand that. And in our lives, you just think about it. And I'm not even talking about your mobile devices. I'm not talking about your smartphones. You know, that just become so distracting for us in our lives. But what I want to be careful about is that they don't mold our mindset. And the distractions don't build our mindset. That the way this works is you can't have a healthy life. And I know y'all want a healthy life. You can't have a healthy life and an unhealthy mindset. Or the way that you think, the way that you game plan your life, the way that you scheme your life, that those things. If you have an unhealthy plan in your life, if you always are taking an unhealthy track, your life's going to be unhealthy. And Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 10, and it's funny because this is in response to some accusations in Paul's ministry. People judging him. You're too soft. You're too hard. You're too direct. You know, why can't you be more direct? I mean, it was the people, let me just tell you, the world that we are ministering to is broken. The people that we're reaching are dying. And let me just tell you, the world in itself, the reason there's so much division in the world, okay? And I'm telling you, you could write this down and you could quote me. The reason there's so much division is because the world produces schizophrenia. The world produces so many chameleons, so many people. If you're in one spot, or if one thing's happening, you've got this opinion. But if you're in another spot and another thing's happening, your opinion's completely different. And most times they don't convene and work with each other. And see, and what we've got to understand now is we've got to understand that in this world you're going to have tribulation because the world is schizophrenic. The world is the terms change and sensitivities change and so many things are so changing. And Paul was accused of not dealing with it. And Paul was still trying to bring the Gentiles into the church and into a relationship with the living God and trying so hard where he's saying, hey, listen, it's not about circumcision. It's not about the Sabbath. It's not about the laws. It's not about all the feasts. It's not about the tabernacle. It's not about that stuff. It's about Christ in you, the hope of glory. It's not do's and don'ts. Man, it's so simple, man. The greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor is yourself. Man, we think about the golden rule, and it's like, oh my gosh, like it's this novel idea, and it's just central. Man, treat people the way you want to be treated. Honor people. But Paul, in this response, Paul in 2 Corinthians 10, at verse 4, he said, the weapons of our warfare aren't carnal. Are they not worldly? But the weapons of our warfare are mighty unto God. Now they're mighty. Now let me just tell you, it's not so that you could get through your day. It's not so that you could overcome the situation of debt that you're in right now. See, the weapons of our warfare are mighty. Listen, for the pulling down of strongholds. See, this is huge. See, this is a whole different context. See, what church is about, if you want to know why I believe what's central about the local church in God's heart, it brings context to the content. See, the content, you could say, I could just listen to a podcast, and I'll tell you they're invaluable. I encourage you, okay, pick the right ones. Read books. Read your Bible. Man, you got to have a personal relationship with God's word, okay? And that's to get the content. What you want to do is you want to get as much of the content of God where you hide it in your heart, you bury it deep in the soil of your soul, okay? But what church does now and what this is supposed to do is bring context. That's why so many people come into church and they'll say, what's this all about? See, I don't want you leaving here today wondering what this is all about, okay? Let me tell you, I want you to know, I believe a miracle can happen now. Amen. It's that simple. Whatever you have need of. And you know what? A big part of this Christianity that goes, I think, unsaid is you have to ask. It's not because God doesn't know already what you have need of. He wants you to ask because he wants you pursuing him. He wants you going after him and not stuff that glitter and not the fame and not followers and not all the trends and the fashions. Man, I'll tell you what, I think the world probably looks at the church and they're thinking, they're trying to be like us. See, the world needs us to be different than them. The world needs us to talk differently, to react differently, and you know what? And not be soft. Do you guys notice how the world is trying to push the church and push believers and push Christians into a corner and we gotta cower and be soft? Well, let me tell you, that isn't because of the new millennium. No, that's how it's always been. Man, the enemy's gonna try to intimidate and so that an insecure church, let me tell you, is a perfect church for the devil. Insecure, inhibited Christians are the perfect people on the planet for devil and for the plans of hell. But for pulling down his strongholds and casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself above that are against the knowledge of God. Think about the things in your life that exalt themselves. It's like, well, I prayed, but this happened. Man, I was believing God, but she died. See, there's things that happen that try to exalt itself above against the knowledge of God. And those are the things that the weapons God gives us to pull down. Arguments. Man, things, I mean, it's so amazing. I was talking with David and Roxanne last night, and I said, you know, I know what's hard, and what I'm trying to navigate as a leader in the church is I'm trying to navigate Google. And you might snicker, and you might think, oh yeah, because see, I don't really have it. There's not a need for me to study the word or to find the context of the word. I could just Google it. And let me just tell you, if that's your relationship with God's word, I'm not sure how that works. I mean, I'm telling you, you got to dig. And when I broke into this, it wasn't the Amplified and the Message Bible and the New Living. It was the King James. It was King James English. I'm from Warrenton, Missouri. I didn't speak proper English. No, I'm fixing to go to church is where I'm going. See, you understand, so it's like, okay, but there was something in me, I wanna know. Does anybody else have that? Man, how many of you guys wanna know what God's about? Wanna know what the church is about? Wanna know what his kingdom's about? Well, now, the weapons of our warfare are pulling down those things to try to exalt themselves above and against the knowledge of God in our life and casting down those arguments and bringing every thought. Now, this is huge because you have 25,000 of these a day, and bringing every thought into the captivity of Christ. Every thought. I'll tell you what, man, I don't know about you, but I have cornered the market personally for bad news to cross my face. I want you guys to feel really sorry for me, because I know I'm probably the only person in here that gets as much bad news as I get. I say that facetiously because we all deal with it. But you know what? What am I going to do with that bad news? Why do you think we call the New Covenant, the New Testament, the gospel? See, there's four gospels, but the whole thing is called the gospel. It's called the good news. The good news is the weapons of our warfare, with the weapons God has given us. You know what? They're not punches. They're not kicks. They're not knives and guns and clubs. They're mighty unto God, okay? Because here's the bottom line. For everything that's happening in our life, there's something spiritual going on. Everything. For every natural law that we have to deal with, there's a spiritual law that's behind it. And you know what? Man, some spiritual that's from God, some that aren't. See, the Bible refers to even familiar spirits, where you think about it and you think, well, yeah, I'm dealing with this addiction, okay? And that might be, that addiction is a lie that the enemy has perpetrated, a lie the enemy has sown, has embedded deep within a person's soul, that addiction. But let me tell you, he doesn't come singularly. He comes in packs, okay? It's interesting. It's why the Bible says there's sheep, there's goats, and there's wolves. Man, if you see a wolf, you're like, oh, wait a minute. But you know what? They run in packs. And see, what we've got to understand now is that so do these laws, these things. Why can't I overcome in my finances? Why are we always struggling financially? There might be something spiritual going on here. See, that's how we have to look at it. For the weapons of our warfare aren't worldly. Man, there's something spiritual that's constraining me. And it really, do you guys mind if I boil it down into real simple terms? There's either suppression or there's a lift. The suppression's a curse, the lift is the blessing. So if in your life, if there's a suppression, it's not God. You should write that down. When there's a suppression in our life financially, when there's a suppression in our life, well, you know, the good Lord gives, the good Lord takes away. Yeah, I get Job. But what Job said is, that which I have feared, the door that I opened has come upon me. Man, without that door opening, without that fear that he initiated, different story. And see, we have to understand that. We have to understand this. The world is completely unprincipled. Completely. See, and what we're getting here are principles to live by. Well, the principles the world gives, yeah, you know what? They'll try to season or try to make it taste like the secret sauce of the gospel. But you know what? The counterfeit of any of the principles of God will never work. See, the devil's not a creator. God's the only creator. So all the devil could do is copy. See, what if right now, and I believe this to be accurate and slightly offensive. What if you're just a reasonable facsimile of who God's called you to be? What if you're just kind of like the man or the woman that God has created you to be? See, this is an army, and we're warriors. Well, armies and warriors are built. See, so if we're just taking every bit of, man, most of military training, man, you solicit the opinions of the population, they're like, oh, that's overboard. Oh, we don't need to learn. Why do we have to learn that? Let's take this to where everybody has to deal with. You're in school, you're in an algebra class, you're trying to figure out the theorems and the algebraic theorems and the all the stuff. I'm the only person in my family that's not a college graduate as we speak right now. And I know that shocks you guys because you're thinking I've got like many PhDs or something. You know, those preachers that have doctor in front of their name, that would just ruin my ministry if we had something like that. So that ain't gonna happen. But what was I talking about? No, algebra. You sit in that algebra class saying, why do I have to learn this? When will I ever use this? Well, what's interesting is in science, in history, in English or language classes, they have questions. In those algebra classes, they have problems. You know why I want my kids taking algebra? They have to solve problems. You know who wins in life? The people that can solve problems. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers them from them all. So we've got to find God's war, the weapons that God gives us. And by the way, I'm not going to get through my message today, so you have to come back next week. Because it's going to be thrilling, I'm sure. Come back, the music will be good. But the world's unprincipled, and the world doesn't fight fair. It doesn't. So the weapons of our warfare aren't worldly, but they're mighty unto God. We don't live or fight our battles that way. And our weapons are supernatural. Man, just the simple list of these weapons. Number one is it's the destruction of strongholds. You know, there's things that we look at it, we want to just say, no, I'm just slap fighting with this thing that's tripping me up. What if it's a stronghold? Well, you know, we haven't been able to have a baby and the doctors can't figure out why. What if it's a stronghold? Listen, I prefaced it with what if. What if it's a stronghold that you can't get your head above water financially? What if it's a stronghold? Well, the weapons God gives us, the word and his spirit, aren't worldly. They're mighty. And they pull those strongholds down. So number one is the destruction of strongholds. Number two is casting down arguments. Man, I know God's word. I know God's the healer, but. I know God's my provider, but. I know God gives me the desires of my heart, but. Okay, what if the weapons God gives us cast down arguments? And listen, I love the word cast. Cast down vain imaginations, cast down arguments, casting our care. It's not us sliding it out of the way. It's us actually, because let me tell you, the arguments that are set in your life, listen to this, hon. The arguments that are set in your life are fragile. So you take that argument and you cast it down and it just shatters. Number three, bringing every thought into captivity. Now listen to this, to the obedience of Christ. That's the end game. I'm gonna be Christ-like. The obedience of Christ. These are our weapons. And these are things that you've got to consider. These are things you've got to think about. These are things that you've got to meditate upon. You've got to spend some time in this. You're not just going to hear this and get it. These things are not so much taught as they have to be caught. And it's over and over and over. And let me tell you, there's a chance Press Taylor's here, the quarterback coach for the Philadelphia Eagles. Man, there are throws that Carson Wentz or Nick Foles are going to have to make this year. If it's the first time they've ever tried to make those throws, it may or may not work. But if it's the 2,000th time they've made that throw, it's probably going to work. They're probably going to win. I know we want to live our lives. I want to live my life as just a gunslinger. Ready, fire, aim. That's my personality. And you know what? It works in 90% of leadership, but then there's 10% of leadership. Let me tell you something. What I've got to do are these four simple principles that God's word lays out in two verses in 2 Corinthians. Bringing every thought into captivity. And number four is being ready to punish all disobedience. And this one is huge. Think about this language. Punish the disobedience. Now listen, all four of these come into play with our mindsets. Has nothing to do with anybody else. What she said to you, what he did to you, the rejection you've been suffering, wah, wah, wah. No, I'm not kidding you. It's nothing that anybody's ever done to you. You want to blame somebody else? You want to say, no, it's not my responsibility. My dad was a jerk. My mom was a psychopath. My brother was demon possessed. You know what? None of that stuff matters. Because the weapons of our warfare aren't worldly. Has nothing to do with whatever's happened. Well, you know, they filed a lawsuit against me here. I've had this stigma. I get it. But what did Paul say? The one thing that I do, I forget which lies behind. And I press toward the prize of the goal of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Being ready to punish the disobedience in your mindset. Man, stop thinking doubt. Stop receiving doubt. Stop living your life in unbelief. And let me just tell you, and you'll say, I don't know how to stop it. There's a real simple verse. Hey, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief. Can you do that? Can you say, hey, Jesus, I believe. Please, could you take a few decades and help my unbelief? This isn't going to happen in the microwave. This is going to have to simmer and marinate and roast and simmer and marinate and roast and repeat and repeat and repeat and repeat. And then you know what? The enemies start getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And you know what? You're slaying every giant in front of you. You know why? Because the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Say that with me. The bigger they are, the harder they fall. Say it again. One more time. I don't want to spend my life flicking gnats. I don't. You know, David came off of that hillside with his sheep serving some cheese, and his brothers were annoyed by this gnat. So you know what he got? He got his fly swatter out. And he artfully ran. No. God, we love you and we praise you. God, I thank you today that the giants that we face today are fallen hard because of the weapons that we possess that are already in us. God, I thank you today. God, I thank you today. You guys ready for this? You ready to receive? God, I thank you today that the enemies we see today, we'll not see them tomorrow. Because our enemies are scattered in the name of Jesus. Now, God, I pray for every person in here whose life isn't right with you. Young or old, rich or poor, whatever color, whatever background, whoever they are, God, if their life isn't right with you, God, I pray a conviction of the Holy Spirit to pierce their hearts today.